Welcome to Casual Fridays with me, Jerry Davich, Karen Walker, and Dan Clark. It's called Z's Donut Bar, and it's attracting lines of customers who are waiting an hour or two for a costly milkshake ever since a video of its magic went viral earlier this month. Where is this amazing place located? In Gary, Indiana. That's right. Karen and I paid a visit there and chatted with its owner, who revealed to us her secret recipe for such unlikely success in a city that can surely use such a surprise. We'll talk with her in just a minute. Also, we'll explore the firestorm behind my column today in the Post-Tribune on illegal immigration. It's reignited a fiery debate again about this issue, separating us into two camps again. Plus, I'll give Lakeshore listeners a sneak peek at my weekend columns, including my Sunday column on a home health care nurse who allegedly abused a disabled boy from St. John and the horrible act she committed. All that and more on today's Casual Fridays, folks. Stay tuned.
Oh, it's Casual Friday.
Casual Friday, what does that mean?
That means we just dress like we would at home.
But you're not at home.
No, but it is Casual Friday, so.
Yeah, I know, you told me that already. What do you do on Casual Friday?
Well, we just come in and do our work, but we dress casually.
I don't like it.
Well, it's just one day of the week.
I don't give a damn if it's half a day a week. I don't like it.
There you go.
Man. Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davich, me, Karen Walker, and Dan Clark. Our show and the Lakeshore are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart, and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
That's right. And if you miss any part of today's show, no worries. It's re-aired at 7 o'clock tonight and posted online at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Where you can find all of our previous shows, including ones like today's that kind of offer Lakeshore listeners a smorgasbord. Or is it smorgasbord? Smorgasbord.
It's a horrible word.
I love the word smorgasbord. Of hot issues, local concerns, frivolous offerings, you name it, we got it here.
It's called Z's Donut Bar and Bakery, and it's attracting lines of customers out its single door who are waiting an hour or two, for a costly milkshake or a pricey sweet treat ever since a video of its magical milkshakes went viral earlier this month.
So where is this amazing place located? Gary. It's located in Gary, Indiana, right across from a Broadway church, abandoned homes, and the streets of Gary we're so familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Jerry and I paid a visit to Z's Donuts Bar earlier this week, chatted with its owner, and watched the magic happen in front of our very own eyes. We also met its owner, LaShawn Taylor, a 47-year-old Gary native, who revealed to us her secret recipe for such unlikely success in a city that can surely use such a surprise.
Yep, on today's show, we'll talk with LaShawn just a minute or two, and she will also reveal her delicious secret with our listeners.
Later in the show, we'll share our annual predictions for this Sunday's Academy Awards, yep. And we challenge you to make your predictions too, and possibly win free movie tickets to the Portage IMAX Theater. Feel free to call in anytime during our show at 769-9577 with your predictions for the six major award categories.
Yeah, I do pretty poorly every year on this annual show of ours with the Oscars guessing.
Oscar predictions.
But I'll give it a go. Also, we're going to explore the firestorm behind my column today in the Post-Tribune. It's on illegal immigration and undocumented aliens. That just sounds harsh. It has reignited a fiery debate again about this issue, separating us into two, what I call distinct ideological camps. I'll tell you which camp I'm in, and I welcome your views too.
And we'll touch on the touching 9/11 memorial in New York City. Jerry will read, as promised, a story he wrote about a terminally ill teen whose school held a special graduation just for him before he died.
Plus, lastly, I'll give Lakeshore listeners a sneak peek at my weekend columns, including my Sunday column on a home health care nurse who allegedly abused a disabled young boy from St. John and the horrible act she committed. I posted about it on social media, and it's really getting a lot of feedback on it.
All that and more in today's show. If you want to join in the discussion or offer a counter view to ours, feel free to call in at 769-9577.
But first, we're going to take you into Gary to Z's Donuts, where Karen and I went a couple days ago.
It was yesterday.
Oh, sorry. Yesterday. I got a busy life, folks. I'm so sorry. It was yesterday. And we met the owner, LaShawn Taylor. LaShawn, welcome to Casual Fridays.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being a part of our show and also your hospitality yesterday.
Yes,
you had
very kind.
Customer after customer after customer. I want a shake. I want a turtle cheesecake. I want a donut. I want bread pudding. Oh, wait, that was me. And you had time to talk with us, and we sure appreciate LaShawn. So I know I asked you yesterday when we were there what the heck happened at Z's Donut Bar in Gary, but you opened it in August of 2015, I believe.
Yes.
And then you relocated to roughly 19th and Broadway last July of last year. But earlier this month, you set a prayer. Tell our listeners about this.
Well, I said I bought some ice cream, and I bought too much ice cream. And I just said, I'm not going to move this ice cream fast at all. So I'm having a couple of issues that I'm going through now in my life. And so I just was sitting down, and I started praying. And after I got through praying, I actually opened my phone, and I went to Instagram. And so a milkshake just dropped out of nowhere. I'm not even friends with this milkshake company or whatever. But however, it dropped out of nowhere. I went and did the milkshake exactly how I saw the picture, and I put it on my page, and it went viral, I think, a day or two later. And I didn't even know I was viral. I had a customer that I was taking care of told me that the milkshake went viral.
And you had just customers out of nowhere, and you didn't know why, did you?
I had no clue, and then I started running out of things at the bakery. Right. I ran out of cake containers to serve my cake in, so I had four, and I told the lady, I apologize, this is all that I have, some aluminum foil to serve your cake in. She said, well, I'll take my cake. She said, do you have enough foil for the other people that's behind me? She said, you have a line that's going around the building. I said, a line? I went out the back door, the line, it was people, the parking lot was full of people.
Oh,
and I
my
just
God.
Started crying and praying, and I came in, and I was serving them cake and foil, and going on and on, and it's just been going on since then.
Wow, it's an amazing story, and it's also amazing. Karen and I always, I dine out a lot. I'm a junkie. Mm-hmm. I call myself a dashboard diner, a fast food junkie, and I'm always out, and I always wonder about these certain restaurants that catch fire, and especially viral videos. Like, what happens? I mean, I know one person likes it, then they share it, and then 10 people share it, and 100 people share it. But you had people coming from out of town and out of state to get one of your shakes. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yes, and the shake flavors just simply came from friends, and I have four grandkids now, and my daughter, and we just think of a flavor and put the flavors together, and we've just been building. We're up to 20 shakes now.
Up different to 20. Flavors. Wow. So, and we're going to post a couple of photos of your shakes and some of your products, not only on my Facebook page, but also on the Casual Fridays webpage, and people can see exactly. This is not just a McDonald's shake.
No,
this is not a Dairy Queen Blizzard we're talking about. This is a creation. This is an artistic wonderment.
Oh, man.
And every shake is topped off with this huge piece of cake or pie or whatever you have a fancy for, right? So I don't even know how they balance it. One of the signs that we saw outside of your store, and it was posted, I believe, on the front door, it says, once you leave here, be careful with your shake. Hold it tight because I'm messing. Are people losing their shakes?
because the cake or cheesecake is so heavy and everything, all the toppings, your cup can tilt over. So if they're not holding it in the cup holder properly, it's going to fall out.
Oh, no. Do you recommend eating the cake before getting into the shake?
I recommend eating it all together.
Ooh, all right.
And quickly.
All together,
you know, some of the good dishes in the world, like, remember you used to get you'd get a Dairy Queen sundae back in the day, and it would be so topped and heaping with things. You had to eat it fast.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have any time to waste. So I'm guessing the same is going on with these donut bar shakes. Yeah, you got to eat fast.
Exactly.
So when we were there yesterday, Karen, we were there, by the way.
Yes, yesterday.
When we were there, we noticed that, people were coming in even before, because you start selling these milkshakes at 1 o'clock every day, correct?
12 o'clock.
Okay, so 12 mm-hmm. o'clock. So I noticed that people were asking beforehand. You know, we got there just before noon, and they're going, is it shakes time? No, it's not shakes
time. That's right. That gentleman was like, well, I'll get behind the counter and help you make a shake. He wanted one right there and now.
And then they want to know what's the secret ingredients in some of your pies and your cakes and all that. And I think you said cream cheese is one of the secret ingredients, right?
Yeah, and with the cake.
Yeah,
cheese cake.
With the cake.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and these dishes, I have to say, are not cheap. It's not like you're getting a 69-cent cone somewhere or $1.50.
Right.
It's $3 for a cupcake. The bread pudding is $3.50. And how much are the shakes again?
The shakes are $12.
$12
but
for a shake.
Full.
Of course, people are lining up for a $12 shake in Gary, Indiana. I think that sounds like fake news to me right off the bat, LaShawn. I mean. It was fun to see, and we're just happy that it's taking place. And we, you know, you don't expect that. You don't expect that anywhere, let alone Lake County, let alone Gary. I mean, just be honest, you just don't. So, are you from Gary?
I am west side of Gary.
West side of Gary. Okay, I'm from east side of Gary, and so you know that a business there would do well if it had a niche, and I guess you found your niche.
I hope so.
Yes.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah, well, you never know with a business. I'm a former business owner of 20 years, and, you know, business comes and goes, and customers come and go, and you can't bank on it, but you have to be enjoying this moment right now anyway.
I am so enjoying it. But the one thing I wanted to put out there that we need help. We are hiring. If anyone needs a job, please contact Z's Donut Bar.
How could you not? How could people not respond to that?
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be an amazing job.
I'll post that on my social media sites today because when I post that jobs are available, and I just posted one earlier this week for U-Haul, there was like 50 shares and dozens and hundreds of comments. So people are looking for jobs, of course, and I'm guessing a person or two in Gary will be looking for a job. So let me see. So it is available for that. And then I know the hours of the day. Are you open all day long?
Not now. That's the future. That we're looking for that for the future.
That's what you need.
But now we close at 8.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what time do you open?
We open at 7 in the morning, Monday through Friday to 8. So it's 7 to 8. Saturdays, 9 to 5. Sunday, 12 to 5.
Oh, you're open on Sundays.
Well, you're a busy person.
Did you run out of milkshakes yesterday?
We did. And they get so upset, and I feel bad because people are coming from, you know, different areas, but I just don't have the manpower.
Sure.
I can't keep holding people over late like that, and the product is really moving. I'm very thankful for
that. So all those cups that we saw, you had these milkshake cups prepped with all the different crunchies and flavors and everything that I saw in the back, they were all gone?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Silly Karen.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, those are all gone. We have to prep every night.
That's a wonderful thing. And we love the story, too, and especially if you're
really
a believer and you pray to Instagram. Or wait, you pray
to
God. It's all right, backwards. But it's amazing how that turned out for you. I'm writing about this, hopefully, for my Monday column. There will be photos. There's a video I shot. You can get all the details about it and more information about Z's. In the meantime, if you just want to check it on your own, feel free. Mm-hmm. It's at 19th Broadway.
Get there early, because she'll sell out fast.
Yeah. LaShawn, thank you so much for your time today. And I know you get
back
to work.
Thank you, guys.
And we'll be back. Thanks,
right, we'll be back.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Crazy story, isn't it?
Yes.
It is.
I mean, is how those things work in life? Listen to Casual Fridays, folks. That was the LaShawn Taylor from Z's Donut Bar. It's a donut bar.
And great milkshakes.
And great milkshakes, exactly. And a gift from God. We have a lot of subjects to talk about on today's show. We will be talking also later in the show with Jay Weinberg, the artist, owner of Opportunity, remember? From Valparaiso?
Yes, I do remember that.
And he's doing a fundraiser tonight to sell some of his Chicago Cubs prints that he made for a fundraiser taking place, I think, tomorrow. So it's a
good cause.
We'll talk to Jay in a few minutes also. Also, let's touch upon my column briefly, if you don't mind. It's in the Post-Tribune today. It's about illegal immigration, undocumented workers. It's called Illegal is Illegal, but there's a borderline explanation also. And it involves a couple that I first met in 2006. I wrote a series of stories involving illegal immigration and specifically a local couple who lived in the Little Mexico neighborhood, I believe, of Lake Station. And they owned El Super Taco. Remember that? Remember that restaurant? It's still there. It's in Hobart on Route 6, El Super Taco. I just like saying it. And I shadowed them for many weeks to write this story because they were here illegally. The whole family was. Mm-hmm. And I think except for maybe the small daughter, the youngest daughter who was born here, so she was legal. But the rest of the family is illegal. And I wrote about them. And that was 10 years ago when I first wrote about it. So I remember them when I'm talking to people about the issue of illegal immigration because, as we know, it's in the news again. The new executive orders are out. The directives are out. The crackdown is taking place, the homeless security. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about it again. And now it's like getting serious. And if you're undocumented, if you're illegal, if you're even here with questionable whatever, people are worried.
Yes.
Dan, you must have been reporting it on the news, right?
Yeah, there's definitely.
And people are worried if they don't supposed to be here for any reason, they could just be whisked away.
Right.
That's the biggest fear. So I wrote about it because my opinion is a bit skewed. When you meet somebody and you have a personal connection, it's like with any hot issue, and you meet somebody, you know somebody in your family that has, let's say your brother is gay, let's say your sister had an abortion, you know, anything that involves the personal family, I think it changes your perspective of things. It takes it from the abstract into the personal.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I think it did with me too with this issue, so that's why I wrote about it, because I know quite a few people, kind of, I guess you could say, who may be here illegally or were here illegally, and it just skews this. It's not so easy to say illegal is illegal and kick them out and detain them, and 12 million people are going to be deported tomorrow. I mean,
it can't
changed.
Do that. Yeah.
Well, that is impossible.
Yeah.
But of course, this new directive is not only on just illegals; it's on the worst of the worst, and if you commit any crimes at all, if you're a criminal. But then that's a slippery slope with the criminals. I mean, what does a criminal offense mean? Does it mean you get a ticket for a minor traffic violation?
Yeah, if you get a speeding ticket, you're
does that that quantify you as a criminal and you can be kicked off for that? So it brings up a lot of issues, and that's why I wanted to write about it. And that's why I wanted to kind of – with this column, I wanted to challenge people's perspectives. It's easy just to say illegal is illegal and close your eyes and that's it. And that's I'm done with it, and I'm going to follow President Trump's – whatever his directives are. You know, it's I think it's a lot more complex than that.
I think – you know, and I think Donald Trump wants so bad to – stay close to his word that he'll send out these executive orders without thinking and make these broad statements and we're all going to swim out of our country and just doesn't even care or notice or know about all these ramifications that follow.
And he is staying true to us. If you're a Trump supporter, you got to be loving the guy. You got to be loving him more than you were before.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing what he said he's going to do. And that's one of the things in my column today, I even said, once again, our president is forcing us to reconsider or redefine our argument toward another conflict-ridden topic facing us. So if I give Trump any credit, at least he's forcing us to debate this.
Yeah.
Whether that keeps him in office in another 3 or 4 years or whether the new elections come in 2 more years and people start voting more conservatives out of office across the country. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But
you can give him some credit in the sense that I would say most politicians don't usually stick to doing what they say they're going to do. This guy actually is doing that. So
for good or bad or ugly.
Right.
And he's forcing us, I think, to really redefine who we are as a people. Mm-hmm. What are we as a country? Where are we going? This experiment in progress, we call it democracy. And that I like that. That's
why a lot of change.
It's a lot of change. Yeah. And people are starting to step up and get off their couch. And they're, like the joke is that Trump got more kids and women off their butts to do things than Michelle Obama did in 8 years kind of thing. Because we're doing something. So that's in today's Post Tribune. You read it. And if you have a differing opinion, feel free. Or call into the show, 769-9577. We'd love to hear from you. You listen to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. We're going to take a short break here. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Oscars and the Academy Awards and some predictions that I have, that Karen has. And if you have an opinion, feel free to call in, 769-9577. We'll be right back.
Did you know you can name Lakeshore Public Radio as a beneficiary in your insurance policy or IRA? You may receive additional financial benefits as well. For more information on creating this kind of legacy gift, talk with your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at Lakeshore Public Radio, 219-756-5656. Thank you.
Do you know what is really happening in Northwest Indiana? If you want to go beyond the brief article in the newspaper or the short piece on the daily news, then join us for Lakeshore Focus each Friday evening at 7:30 as we interview fascinating people with real stories about interesting issues. We will make you think, maybe scratch your head, or even laugh. That's Lakeshore Focus, Friday evenings at 7:30 on Lakeshore Public Television.
You're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davich and Karen Walker. Be here every Friday.
Welcome back to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Our show and the Lakeshore are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Cary, providing coverage for matters most.
That's right. If you miss any part of today's show, it's re-aired at 7 o'clock tonight. And also, you can find us online, lakeshorepublicradio.org, under our new Casual Fridays page with all the information and all of our previous shows, at least most of them. So feel free to check out anything you missed. You didn't miss a thing, actually. I was contacted by a St. John police detective named Steve Flores earlier this week involving a case that he called disturbing and disgusting. And it involves a woman. I'm looking for the column as we speak. It involves a woman who is a home health care nurse who allegedly abused an 8-year-old St. John boy who possesses the mind and body of a 2-year-old infant. He weighs only 22 pounds. Mm. The boy's condition is due to a rare genetic disorder called Cornelia de Lange syndrome, I believe, with characteristics that include kind of abnormally slow growth, small stature, and severe developmental delays. So in this boy's case, it requires round-the-clock care and a feeding tube and a diaper and acute vulnerability to any kind of mistreatment, obviously. He's also incapable of coherent speech to alert maybe his parents or anyone else of any kind of abuse going on. So what the detective told me is what this home health care nurse did to this poor little boy was heartbreaking to watch, and he watched it because the mother of the boy has these nanny cam, it's called Nest brand surveillance thing, and she keeps it's a nanny cam. She keeps it in the basement where the boy is being
treated and cared for and where he usually lives to make sure he doesn't fall down. If something happened, she could run down there, kind of thing. And then one night she just couldn't sleep. This is earlier this month, maybe like 2 weeks ago or so, 3 weeks ago. And she thought she would just check out the nanny cam footage to see if she missed anything lately. And she did. And what she watched, she saw, was this abuse taking place by this home health care nurse, which I'm writing about for my Sunday column. So at one point on the video recording, the nurse is shown pulling the boy toward her by his penis, causing a small tear. At another point, the nurse is shown shaking the boy violently and literally throwing him into a play tent on the floor. This is all according to a probable cause affidavit that has been filed in court. On another day, the nurse is shown punching the boy in the stomach near his feeding tube and later slapping him in the face while changing his diaper. Flores, of course, that's one of the most disturbing cases I've ever had. And according to the affidavit filed February 15th in Lake Criminal Court, charges were finally filed against the woman. Her name is Judy Cottrell, 56, of Lake Village. It's a small town in Newton County.
A sick human being.
So she's a licensed registered nurse, I think, for the last 20 years or so. And she was charged with neglect of a dependent, a battery on a person under 14, and battery on a disabled person. When I called Cottrell's residence for her response to these charges earlier this week, an unidentified man answered the phone, told me she cannot comment on the case. When I asked to speak to her attorney, I was told that it's not possible, for whatever reason that would be. Usually, I understand when a defendant can't speak because the case is pending, but the attorney is always happy to talk about something anyway.
Right.
You know? But I can't even talk to an attorney. So according to the affidavit, the woman at first denied any abuse of the boy until she was shown the video recordings by the police. And of course, there you go. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they would never know. They would never know.
Yeah.
Then, according to the affidavit, she cried a little bit and admitted that she acted inappropriately. What Flora said, she told me she didn't mean to hurt the child, but come on, she did it repeatedly. Cottrell, who began caring for the boy in November, was employed by Anchor Home Healthcare in Valparaiso. I tried to contact the company. They haven't got back with me yet. The boy's mother, who asked not to be identified, she kind of declined comment on the case, but she said she's in favor of a newspaper column to alert other parents, and that's the key. That's why I'm writing about this. I think background checks and more thorough vetting of home healthcare nurses should be a priority for families in these situations, because you kind of trust when somebody sends you a nurse, like, okay,
right.
You know, she's good, and she's been around for a while. So if anything comes out of this story, it should be a warning to parents in similar situations with their children, or maybe to elderly and disabled clients.
Yes.
You kind of rely on home health care professionals.
Does she only care for, like, disabled children, or is she, like, also elderly care?
I'm not sure, but I know that another family was contacted Flores from Jasper County with similar charges of abuse, but no charges have been filed, so I'm not able to write about it. But so there might be more than one family. And what's the detective, what he wanted to put across to me and to put across to Casual Friday's listeners and my readers is that maybe she cared for other people and we don't know about it. Mm-hmm. So now her name is out in public.
Right.
So they can come, people
they can come forward if they want to. So
I
there's a there's like a double whammy here. One, you should background check some of these home healthcare workers a little bit more. At least ask a few more questions, of course, now. And the nanny cam is invaluable.
It is.
Because this nurse was watching and caring for this boy since November.
Oh, that's
so that's 3 months with no coverage.
It's a nightmare.
Because I think it got erased, kind of thing. It doesn't everything go to the cloud. So this only had like a 5 to 7 day window for this coverage. So they don't know anything what took place from November, I think, to January, according
to
police.
Poor kid, he couldn't even, you know,
say anything,
do anything about that.
Exactly. So that's what I'm writing about for my Sunday column. You can check out the details in the Post Tribune. You can find out more information and some tips of what you could do for background checks and all that. So look for that soon, and also post it online soon too, because all my columns post online on my Chicago Tribune website before they usually run in print.
Okay.
You listen to Casual Fridays, folks, with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Remember Jay Weinberg? He was on our show, I think,
a
month or two ago.
He had that really great Cubs picture that he painted.
He paid it for it. He gave it to his dad, right, and he's the owner of Artunity. He's doing a fundraiser. I think it's taking place tonight, so I invite him on the show to spread the word. Jay, welcome back to Casual Fridays.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
You're very welcome. We appreciate it. And we always appreciate the good work you do for the community. I know you've worked with Special Olympics in the past. And if you can give our listeners a peek of what's taking place tonight and tomorrow.
I did a signing in South Bend last Saturday, and I kind of found out about this last minute. But they're doing a polar plunge at Four Winds Field for the Special Olympics. So they were having people get pledges, you know, to take the plunge and all of that. And I had a week to get everything in line. So it was, I everything came up pretty quick. But tonight I'm actually going to be at B-Dubs in Valparaiso, Buffalo Wild Wings, from 6 to 9. And I've been, you know, I've been selling prints at all these different signings, and I figured the best way that I could do something to raise some money fast for the Special Olympics was to just take all the profits from this signing and give them, you know, right to the Special Olympics tomorrow at the Polar Plunge, which I will also be taking the plunge. So
I was going to ask you that, Jay.
Yeah, it's a win-win-win-win-win because the other part of it is I have these $2,500 limited edition canvas prints that I'm doing where I'm actually hand embellishing and painting back on them. They're the original size of the original. And as long as I can get all 125 spots sold to make that $2,500, I'm going to give that to Special Olympics, and somebody's also going to win that canvas tonight. I'm just going to do a random drawing.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to have numbers on the back of all the prints. So there's a 1 in 125 chance that you can win. You could always buy multiple prints. And then also the first 10 people who come out will get a $10 Buffalo Wild Wings gift certificate. Like, it's one per, like, transaction for the per person, you know. And then after those first 10, everybody's still going to get a $5 gift certificate no matter what. So if you show up, you give $20 to me for a print, you're going to get a chance to win the canvas. You're going to get at least a $5 gift certificate to Buffalo Wild Wings. You're going to get to make me jump in the ice cold water, and you're donating to Special Olympics, so you can't
lose.
You're
right. It is like a
win-win-win. Yeah. Hey, have you ever taken the plunge before?
You know, I've not, but, you know, I'm a personal trainer, fitness instructor at the Y, and one of the things that I do, especially, it's kind of backwards, but in the summer I do cold exposure because
cold
it's really good
exposure
for your metabolism, and it's good for even actually your immune system. So I take ice cold showers. You know, I'm kind of used to it, even though I'm not quite up to that level of training to jump into the polar plunge. It's definitely not completely foreign territory for me, so I'll be ready.
There you go. This weekend's supposed to get cold again, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I know. Hey, you gotta sacrifice, right? That's all it's about. So,
Jay, why have you taken the plunge for Special Olympics? Why does this issue matter so much to you?
You know, it's weird. Like, my mom, when, it was 1987. She actually auditioned for Radio City Music Hall. It's just so weird how things, like, come up, you know? The opportunity, I think, just happened. I was like, man, it's wild because it's connected to, she was in Radio City Music Hall. She auditioned for the halftime show. I think they were doing it at Notre Dame that year, you know, Schwarzenegger and Shriver, because she's, you know, one of the big supporters of the Special Olympics. They were out there, and, you know, she got in, she did the halftime show, and then it was probably maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, locally, John King, he has a radio show here in town.
Yeah, he's been on our show, too.
Okay, John King. So, yeah, I just did his show last night, actually, to talk about this, because he's a big supporter of Special Olympics.
Sure.
His daughter, I believe, is a Special Olympian.
Yeah, and so it's called a Living It Up Festival.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I've, with the band, back when I had the band going strong, you know, we played there and, you know, helped them try and raise some money that way. And then I also actually, it's just funny how the magic of all this works. I did a piece for the last time that we played with him at Living It Up. I did an illustration / painting that I gave to him so that they could raffle that off and try and raise the money for Special Olympics then. And it's kind of the same thing I'm doing now.
I see.
With this opportunity, as I call it. And that's really kind of the process. And it's a testament to the way that the platform that I've been developing works. It's just about, you know, we all can win. We can keep winning and winning and winning and paying it forward and actually benefiting through, you know, just giving.
And so, Special Olympics, such a great cause. I mean, it's one of those causes that you bring up. It's like homeless veterans or sad puppies or something. And people will just jump on board because they know it's a good cause. You don't have any qualms or hesitation about getting it. Because a lot of times, for cynics like Karen in the world.
Hey.
No, I'm kidding. For cynics like me in the world, I question like everything. Yeah, where's the money going? Who's it going to? Show me a picture. You know, that guy I never trust. But with Special Olympics.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's kind of worthwhile adventure. So when are you taking the plunge?
It will be tomorrow morning. I'm going, so I've got to teach my boot camp class, and I'm going to have to shoot right over to South Bend tomorrow. So I'm hoping I can
You know, we always watch videos of that on TV shows, and I always go, I'm just cold looking.
Yeah. Oh, I know. These people that jump in Lake Michigan,
it's not for me.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't dig cold weather too much, but I like that.
Oh, I'm anti-cold weather, trust me.
Oh, you are, but it's good for the body, though.
Yeah, it's good for the body, and again, I do it in, I don't like the cold weather, though.
All right. Will you be,
the day being warmer is nice.
Are you going to put your head all the way under, or are you just kind of wading in
a little bit?
We'll see. We're going to commit you on Casual Fridays.
If I'm going to plunge, I got to plunge.
Go big or go home.
Dan, Karen, and I would just do our ankle and then we'd run out.
Yeah.
We'd be like the monkeys in that.
That kind of, you make it worse, though, because it's like a psychological thing. You might as well just jump in.
I'd be a psychological mess if I was.
I know you would.
Yeah, it'd be terrible.
So if you're interested, listening out there in Lakeshore land, Freezing for a Reason, it's called, and you could help with the Special Olympics, and you could help by showing up at Buffalo Wild Wings tonight and then getting one of these prints. It's in Valpo from 6 to 9, and be a part of this whole Freezing for a Reason. Even if you don't want to dip in, you don't have to. You know, you could just take the plunge to help out Special Olympics. Sound good, Jay?
Absolutely. Sounds great. If people want to see more, too, they can go to jgotgames.com. That's the website that's got kind of like the picture that's on there. I've actually got a link to the Facebook event for tonight, just in case they want to see a little bit more details, see the print, and even see my dad's reaction to when I gave him the original.
Oh, we love that reaction. Yeah, and I love writing
about it. I'm also working on something. I just went up to Chicago yesterday. My mom and I surprised my brother. I did a painting for him, too, because he's a ridiculous Cubs fan. So I posted on my Facebook yesterday. There'll be more of it.
Is it Cubs-related?
Oh, it is, absolutely, yeah. Real quickly, Cubs were down 3-1. He was sending me and my sister in a text message, like, we were all kind of depressed, like, oh, no. And then he sent this clip of Rocky and said, this is tonight for the next game.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
And so it came out in the next game that Rizzo was actually using Rocky clips in the clubhouse.
I remember that.
To get the guys riled up. And my brother sent this independent, like, a game before that. And he didn't even know, or it was before that game happened or whatever. So then, you know, Rocky being a big thing, the painting is basically a big portrait of Rocky and Rizzo together. So.
Rocky and Rizzo.
That goes together very nicely.
Absolutely.
If I ever start a band, I'm going to call it Rocky and Rizzo.
Okay. Yeah.
Rocky and Rizzo, that's a good band name. But I'll post that on the website soon here, too, because it was a pretty special thing. He didn't know we were going to come up, and we completely surprised him.
Well, you're good at the surprises, that's for sure.
Very good.
Someday I still want you to surprise me. I'll get that print from you, and I appreciate your generosity with that.
Absolutely.
All right, Jay. Absolutely. We appreciate
you. Good luck, Jay.
Good luck tonight and tomorrow. Stay warm.
All right, thank you. Thanks for your time, guys.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. All right, that was Jay Weinberg. If you're interested in Freezing for a Reason, anybody here would do that? Karen, would you ever do? You might do that.
I might, yeah.
Yeah, Dan, never?
I'd think about
it.
I'd think about it. I don't know.
I could see Dan cheating and putting on a great big old wetsuit.
That I would do for sure. It is.
Like a scuba diver.
I do not like the cold at all either. Just like Jay, it sounds like. But
that's why I give credit to people who can do that.
I know.
Especially if it's just for a fundraiser. You're doing it for somebody else, for something else, not just for yourself. Oh, well, it's very cool. You listen to
very
Casual
cool.
Fridays, folks, with Jerry, Karen, and Dan, of course, in the studio. You know, we do want to get to the some Academy Award predictions, have some fun with that. Maybe take a quick break here, come right back. We'll talk about some Oscar predictions from us, maybe from you. And it's taking place when? Sunday? Is that when?
Sunday. And you know what? I got to pull up I don't know any of the categories.
We got it. We got
the
category.
We're good.
Oh, do you?
Okay.
Tell you what, you stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
Did you know you can name Lakeshore Public Radio as a beneficiary in your insurance policy or IRA? You may receive additional financial benefits as well. For more information on creating this kind of legacy gift, talk with your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at Lakeshore Public Radio, 219-756-5656. Thank you.
Do you know what is really happening in Northwest Indiana? If you want to go beyond the brief article in the newspaper or the short piece on the daily news, then join us for Lakeshore Focus each Friday evening at 7:30 as we interview fascinating people with real stories about interesting issues. We will make you think, maybe scratch your head, or even laugh. That's Lakeshore Focus, Friday evenings at 7:30 on Lakeshore Public Television.
Hey there, this is Rupert Bonham, your Libertarian candidate for governor of Indiana. As your favorite survivor, I'm telling you that I'd never vote that Karen Walker off, but Jerry Davich, he's the first one to go. You're listening to Casual Fridays on the Lakeshore. Yeah!
Yeah! I'll say that name.
Oh, okay. Who was that? That was Rupert Bonham. His claim to fame was he was on Survivor for two different seasons.
Okay.
And he
also ran for Indiana
governor. He ran for Indiana governor. Libertarian ticket.
Yeah, libertarian.
So, but hey, welcome back to Casual Fridays. I'm Karen Walker. I'm with Jerry Davich and Dan Clark. Casual Fridays is brought to you by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency, in Gary, and Hobart.
For what matters.
For what matters most. Yes. I don't have my script in front of me.
If you miss any part of today's show, it's re-air. No worries. 7 o'clock tonight and posted online, Lakeshore Public
Radio.
Yes. Welcome back to Casual Fridays. Last week we talked about a story I wrote a few years ago, and Karen was there when I wrote it. She attended it. It was involving a boy named Brett Lozinski, who was 19 years old, and he had a brain tumor. And his school had a special ceremony, graduation ceremony, just for Brett, because the brain tumor was terminal, and they didn't think he'd make it to the formal graduation. So I wrote about that, and on last week's show, I promised I would read it. So I will read it at the end of today's show. But before we get to that, as promised, we're also going to talk about the Academy Awards.
Yes, it's this Sunday, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel on ABC.
I love Jimmy Kimmel.
I do, too.
Looking forward to...
I do, too. Do you like the Oscars, Dan?
Yeah. I mean, I like them more than the Grammys.
There you go. I think the Oscars and these award shows divide us. Again, it's another polarizing kind of topic, surprisingly so, because some people are just so against it. Oh, Hollywood and celebrating themselves. And
right.
But then I think of the bigger picture, and I'm talking with Karen about this earlier this morning. I think that maybe Hollywood and the Oscars are kind of like our royalty.
Yeah,
sure.
Like
Britain's royalty. And we look at it that way, even for all their flaws and mistakes and condescension, whatever it might be, we still look at it. Because what were some of the figures you were mentioning?
Well, I saw this on the news that an A-list actress like Emma Stone or Nicole Kidman, how much her look costs would be up to $10 million. That includes the gown, the couture gown that they make custom for that actress, and the jewels. And it's all rental, like from Harry Winston or Cartier. It's usually rented, and it could be up to $10 million from head to toe for an A-list actress.
That is
for
a lot of money.
For a non-A-list actress, it could be up to maybe $1 million.
Oh.
Still with the rented jewelry and things like that. And the whole production, the whole television production from start to finish, and the prepping and the parties and the theater and the everything, the Oscars cost around $43 million to put on.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. And we think of it in one sense, the cynical go, what? And what a waste of money and all this.
Yeah.
But then
these presenters that will go up and announce the nominees, and they have 5 minutes of screen time, they get these huge swag bags like iPads and phones and all kinds of good stuff.
I'd like that.
I totally would do that.
Just the swag bag.
The swag bag
alone.
Even
if I don't attend.
You know?
Right. You could dress me in $20 worth of clothing as long as I get the swag bag.
I'm wondering why we care so much. It's the 74th annual, I believe.
Is it? I thought it was more than that.
Oh, is it? No, I'm in the wrong
one.
Sorry.
I think you might.
I'm thinking of Golden Globe Awards.
Because they say it was the 89th.
Oh, okay.
Annual?
That sounds about right. So 89 years. And people love this.
They do.
Even if people who say they dislike it and hate it and it's silly and stupid and an over expenditure.
E starts their red carpet coverage, I believe, at like 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah, they do.
So they're just hanging around there waiting hours for it to start.
It's funny because we went to Hollywood about 2 years ago, and Jimmy Kimmel would always make fun of where the Academy Awards are held. They're held at the Kodak Theater on Hollywood Boulevard. And he would make fun of that it's kind of in a strip mall. And it really is. There's a sunglasses hut. There's a California pizza kitchen. And then there's the Kodak Theater.
Something different.
It's just like boom.
And Hollywood Boulevard
there
is really gritty and dirty.
Oh, it is. It's dirty.
And we've been to some gritty, dirty places, including New York City and Chicago.
Yeah, but Hollywood Boulevard
local,
is true. It
is
trashy.
Dirty. It's trashy.
There's only a really small section. That's where the Kodak Theater, Grom's Chinese Theater, Jimmy Kimmel's show, where it's very touristy and very crowded, but you go kind of either way.
Yeah.
it's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's like the Vegas Strip, the bad side.
Yeah, the bad side. I was going to say the Vegas Strip is kind
of
nice.
I'm at the dark
nicer
side
than
of the
Hollywood
strip,
Boulevard. But, I mean, they close that all down and they clean everything up and they get the red carpet out and it's all gorgeous for Sunday. And, you know, it's funny how you said that I'd rather watch the Oscars than the Grammys. And the Grammys are getting hit pretty hard, because now it's just more like pop music,
yeah,
disposable music. And the real Grammy Awards, they're not even televised anymore. You know, the spoken word and things like that. You don't even see that
all
show.
Those boring,
yeah,
quotes,
the technical awards.
Yeah.
You just they only show 9 Grammy Awards, and the Grammy
Awards. But the Oscars
but
show.
But it's still like 4 hours long.
Just like people like Lady Gaga and Katy Perry and Tribe Called Quest. You know, they got to get their big productions out and Beyonce. Well, no, there's a lot. There's technical Academy Awards that are at another, but that's even more technical.
Yeah.
But they do have a great number of the awards that are given out on Sunday night. And there is still, after all these years, there is still a mystique and there's still a dignity to these awards. You know, and
even though Cary Grant's not around anymore.
Exactly. Cary Grant's not around
anymore.
Something
like that.
But I think,
to carry
you know,
that swag.
I wonder if Jack Nicholson will be there. He's always.
I don't like him. I think he's overrated.
So what are the six categories or the major categories?
Yeah, best picture,
correct?
Director, actress, actor, supporting actress, and supporting actor. And usually when the show starts, it's always a supporting actor is the first one that they go with.
So who are the nominations?
The nominations for supporting actor?
Yeah.
I'm going to Mahershala Ali for Moonlight, Jeff Bridges, Hell or High Water, Lucas Hedges, Manchester by the Sea, Dev Patel for Lion, and Michael Shannon for Nocturnal Animals. Who they say will win and should win is Mahershala Ali for Moonlight.
Oh, really? And I saw clips of that. It's very powerful.
And it's very interesting because...
What's Moonlight about?
I don't know.
It up, Lakeshore listeners.
Yeah.
And then let us know. But they were saying the most expensive movie that's nominated is Arrival.
Oh,
and that's
That looks really good.
Amy Adams.
Amy
but
Adams,
she wasn't even nominated, but she got a lot of good buzz for that. That cost $43 million to make compared to Moonlight, which cost $5 million.
I see. I'm more of a Moonlight fan myself, I'm guessing. I saw clips. I'm wondering, is there a theme where when somebody starts winning or a certain movie starts taking off that it rolls, it sweeps?
It seems that way.
Because all I'm hearing is La La Land.
Yes.
La La Land. Karen and I saw it. I didn't want to see it, not really, because I wanted to see Fences or Moonlighting, but
that's
Karen wanted to see that, so we saw it, and I was really impressed.
I liked it. It was
just entertaining. It was total escapism.
Right.
You just escaped. But it had some good themes under about it, and it didn't have a nice ending. It had a poignant, bittersweet ending to it.
It did.
You think usually a Hollywood movie, especially
like a
musical.
Like a Hollywood ending. And
yeah,
it didn't have
there's
that.
Like the guy and the girl get together, and they don't get together in the end of this movie, which
spoiler
I liked.
Alert.
Come
sorry.
On. I haven't seen La La Land
Jerry,
yet.
Jerry, you just ruined it for me.
So I'm thinking, will that movie roll then
they
on
said
Sunday?
That it will win, but what should win would be Moonlight.
Moonlight?
Oh, of course. Well, if you go should versus will,
that's
like America. That's like reality. What should do better?
They said that who should win and will win for Best Supporting Actress is Viola Davis for Fences.
Oh, yes, right.
Casey Affleck for Manchester by the
Sea.
Yeah,
that's getting a lot of raves.
That's getting a lot of buzz,
you know what I like
too,
about the Oscars and Academy Awards is that these plant the seeds for what movies I think I should see in the future.
Oh, sure.
Like I'll look on Netflix or I'll pull them up later, maybe 6 months from now. I'll go, oh, I remember that.
I always do that.
Do
yeah,
really?
look and write down things that I like. And that's actually what I do when I watch them. It's just like, oh, I haven't seen that.
Little mental note that you really should see that if it's getting that much of a buzz and it's that quality. And it's,
Arrival looks like something that I'd really be into. So I definitely want to see that. I'd like to see Lion, too. I saw when I was doing stuff for the show yesterday, I was watching a trailer for Lion, and that looks great.
If a trailer sucks you in enough.
Yeah, that's the movie about a boy who I believe gets separated from his family, gets stuck on a train.
And eaten by a lion.
No, that's not true.
Oh, wrong lion. I'm sorry.
No, it was an Indian.
Give us your predictions, Karen Walker.
I think La La Land will sweep. I really
do.
I think it's going to be a real race between Moonlight and La La Land. Because Moonlight's getting a lot of buzz, and La La Land is as well. So, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of that.
We shall find out if you are right again. Karen's usually dead on with this stuff. She loves Hollywood and the Oscars and knows all the pop culture stuff.
I never miss it.
Loves her People magazine. She knows all the ins and outs of what every celebrity's doing currently.
Are you doing a party? Like a little get some dinner?
Party of two with Chinese food.
And my daughter
that's the best
who may
kind of party.
Well, and my daughter who may float in and get bored and leave. But yes, Chinese food and the Academy Awards. All the way.
We typically
very good.
Do that.
Is that the tradition Chinese food?
Yeah, like it is at the Walker Davidge House.
Karen like started that, so we've been hanging with. Yeah, right.
It's a good tradition.
This goes together. It's like Chinese on Christmas.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So if you're going to tune in, you could make your own predictions too. But I'm looking for. I guess I do look for. I like recording it and then getting through all the commercials.
Yes, I was just about to say that.
I just hate commercials.
Because some of the people that get the even though they play the music to get you off the stage, it's they can ramble.
You better not have your phones with you then, because they'll start texting you. Before you see it.
We've had that before on social media.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. We've had that. Stop it.
I hate people like that. Yeah. Come on now. Put that phone down. Just watch the show. You know, it was funny. We were watching Jimmy Fallon last night, and he does his hashtags. And his hashtag was, what would I do if I won the Powerball? And this one tweet was from this guy. Said, if I won the Powerball, I would pay someone to play the walk-off music if I'm in a conversation with somebody that I don't want to be in a conversation with anymore.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be perfect?
You know, play that music great.
Every time. Stage.
I would have that soundtrack going all the time in
all
my
the
life.
All the time. Yeah.
No offense to anybody who I talk with, but I'm usually kind of quick to the point.
Yeah.
Hey, as I promised last week, a column I wrote a few years ago, I was going to read it on today's show, and I want to read it for sure since we have a few minutes left. You're listening to Casual Fridays, by the way, with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Thanks for tuning in. We do appreciate you tuning in, and also people who listen to this on, what's it, the podcast or online, because they're going to listen to this after the fact. I cite a lot of our shows in my column, and then they check it out online afterwards. We appreciate you tuning in afterward also, or 7 o'clock at night. But here is the column I wrote. It's pretty self-explanatory. Let me read it to you. Brett Lozinski entered in a wheelchair, sporting a Chicago Cubs pillow and a blue-colored cap and gown, as pomp and circumstance played in the background. A massive banner draped the back wall of the school gymnasium, stating, "Congratulations, Brett, class of 2012. May I present Brett Mitchell Lozinski," announced Sandy Bodner, principal of the Special Education Learning Facility in Valparaiso. The standing-room-only crowd stood on its feet, burst into applause, and cheered for the 19-year-old hero on Friday morning. "We've been honored to have him here," Bodner told the audience as Brett's family sat facing him in the front row. Brett, who looks much younger than 19, was supposed to graduate from school in May, but doctors told his parents that he may not be here to celebrate such a matter-of-fact milestone for most teenagers. So, for their beloved Brettster, as they called him, the Self School created a special graduation ceremony solely for him. "Brett profoundly and positively affected us," said Chris Fowles, one of his special education paraprofessionals. "He touched all of our hearts." Sue O'Reilly, another educator, told the crowd that Brett is a ray of sunshine whose trademark phrase at school was, "1-2, I love you." For years, Brett has been known for telling friends, family, and everybody else, and even strangers, "Love you more, love you more." "Congratulations, Brett, you did it," O'Reilly told Brett, whose head seemed too heavy to remain upright, like one of his beloved bobblehead dolls. "Looking back, Brett has had been through so much. To even get this far in life, I thought. His parents called him their miracle boy. Here's why. I first met Brett in 2004, months after he underwent surgery to remove a golf ball-sized tumor from the back of his brain. A therapist worked to spark his memory. Old McDonald had a..." And then Brett would go, "Two! No, not two. E-I-E-I, two!" Brett said, "No, that's not it. I'm sorry," Brett said, angry at himself for not knowing a little kid's nursery rhyme. Like so many victims of brain illness, regardless of age, Brett was but a memory of his former self. His thoughts and words were often delayed, like watching an hourglass rotate on a blank computer screen. A year and a half or so earlier, the shy, straight-A student blended into school like weeds on a lawn. But something deadly was going on in the back of his head. Dizziness led to double vision, then vomiting and wobbly walking. An emergency room CAT scan found the tumor. Brett's surgeon called it a medulloblastoma. Brett's mother called it a nightmare. "There was no cause, no reason," said Lisa Hood of Chesterton. "It just showed up. It just showed up." Brett eventually grew up, attended school, and lived life as a teenager, although he had obvious developmental disabilities and other unique challenges. "He's been through a lot," said his father, Todd. Just before last Christmas, Brett started having vision problems, depth perception issues, and more frequent seizures. His school days had to be cut short, and a medical test to determine the cause of his health problems had to be sped up. Its findings jolted his parents, his two younger brothers, and everyone else who heard the tragic news. Brett had a new brain tumor, this one even deadlier than the previous one. And worse yet, it was caused by the radiation that treated the first one in 2004. "It just showed up," his father said. "But he had to have that radiation back then, or he wouldn't have died, or he would have died. He wouldn't have been with us now." Lisa Hood and Brett's father, Todd, couldn't think of putting Brett through another round of treacherous treatments, including another surgery and months of chemotherapy. "No more pain," they said, "no more suffering." Brett's doctors agreed about foregoing more treatment, informing Brett's family that he only had a few months to live. The day before I met with Brett, his parents lined up hospice care in his mother's home and orders for a DNR, do not resuscitate. It was a big dose of reality for us all, Lisa told me, as Todd cradled a very pale Brett who sat quietly on the couch. At the ceremony, Brett sat slumped in his wheelchair in the school gymnasium during his special graduation ceremony. He suffered another minor seizure at 4 a.m. that day, but somehow he managed to make it to the school with his mother. He's in a great mood, his mother texted his father. Brett's teacher stood behind the podium, taking turns to sing his praises. He enjoyed helping them fold laundry. He's a social butterfly. Christmas is his favorite holiday. He loves to sleep and to flirt in his own innocent way. Brett is beloved here, said his teacher, Jill Hunt, and it showed. Friends, family, fellow students packed the small gym, lining its walls, some to say hello, others to say goodbye. Brett's father, speaking on behalf of the family, thanked the school staff through barely contained emotions. You're all very special to me, he told them. This is quite the testament to Brett. A teacher announced, introducing our graduate, Brett Mitchell Lisinski. Again, a standing ovation. Again, cheers and applause. Chesterton High School principal Jim Getz knelt down to award Brett his special diploma. Brett's tassel was formally turned to the right side of his graduation cap by his 7-year-old brother, Cody. Brett's other brother, 16-year-old Bailey, helped him toss his cap into the crowd. He couldn't do it on his own. His mother then wheeled him around the gym. The crowd cheered wildly, hundreds of them. On a cold day, a weekday, a special day, they all just showed up. That is my column. Karen's crying, tearing up here.
That's very emotional.
Yeah.
Piece.
So that is Brett.
That's
and
beautiful, though.
The reason I thought of that last week's show is because his dad Todd is a member of the church, Valpo Nazarene Church, that hosted that special night for prom for special needs kids.
Sure.
And Todd had a special needs son, and I thought Todd, and I told him on last week's show, Todd, we haven't forgot about Brett. Karen and I remember Brett. Thousands of people, I'm guessing, have remembered Brett, and as any parent would want to know, we haven't forgot your son. Mm-hmm. We haven't forgot your son. We haven't forgot your child. So that was the column I wrote in 2012, 5 years ago, and I met Brett in 2004, such a long time ago.
Yeah.
And you always think these positive outcomes would happen. I wrote about another boy in Hammond who had a I think it was a heart transplant. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about him. His name is Zach. And you never know how the outcome is going to be, but he's fine. And he was on our show, in fact, last year. And he was fine. Brett, not so fine. Another tumor. So I wrote about that. I promise to say it. I hope I didn't bring everybody down on this on this Friday. But, it's poignant. And Todd and the mom, Lisa, are very appreciative that we remembered. And they commented on social media to that column that thank you for not forgetting Brett. So there you go. You're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. I wanted to make a mention also, we have a couple minutes left on the show, is that our new book is coming out. I say our because Karen has so much to help me with it. It's called Crooked Politics in Northwest Indiana. It's getting released in a week or two, officially, finally.
There you go.
Yeah, we've already had pre-order sales kind of thing. People are interested in getting it. I have some dates coming up. We'll be speaking about it, some public signings. They'll be at the Hobart Library. I think it's March 5th, but I'll talk about this next week's show. Different libraries across the region. I'll be at Barnes & Noble. I'll be at the Books A Million, is that what it's called? The Southlake Mall. Mm-hmm. Sure. I'll be there in March. So there's a lot of dates coming up in March. I'll be signing books.
We should do a little reading maybe on next week's show.
Yeah, we'll have an excerpt or two, a chapter of the book. It's getting a lot of attention. As you can imagine, it's all about crooked politics in the last century or so in Northwest Indiana. And people think it's in the past or it's the heyday. It was back in East Chicago during the heyday of East Chicago in the 60s and 70s. Or maybe Gary earlier than that under Cha-Cha, who was the former mayor, that kind of stuff.
Right. Cha-Cha.
George Cha-Cha. Chicharis.
Chicharis,
but it's taking place right now as we speak, and there's charges filed against two.
Happens every day.
High-profile people in the news.
It does.
So it's nothing old news. It's still new news.
A misconception is that we're not all the names, and we are using names. All the names in the book these people have been indicted. And
served their time.
The trial.
Yeah, we're not just throwing out
guesses
about people.
We're not throwing out names,
people,
and we're not implicating anybody. These are all of public record. Anybody
sure.
can find
it is.
Them.
With photos and theories of why this region is as corrupt as it is historically for decade after decade and why it's still taking place today. And I also talked to a couple of former political public officials who were charged, indicted, and convicted and served time.
Yeah.
And they're going to tell – they told me from my book of what it was like to serve time and how they feel about their lives now. And we also talked to a couple of federal agents off the record who gave
me
some information
feds,
of the feds.
Man, real feds.
So all that's part of the book, and we'll talk about it on next week's show more. It's called Crooked Politics in Northwest Indiana. You can check out my Facebook page, and you can order a copy if you want a signed copy in advance. All right. I think we crammed in everything we promised on today's show as we typically
do. Wide range of emotions today.
My God.
I
up
know,
and down, right?
Stop.
We'll leave you crying and laughing. A little of everything. But we appreciate you tuning in. Good luck to Z's Donuts and Gary.
Yes.
It's nice to see that.
And
thanks to LaShawn Taylor for calling in.
Spectacular milkshakes.
And Jay Weinberg taking the plunge tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that also.
Good luck.
So have a wonderful weekend, folks. And
have a casual Friday.
Have a casual Friday. Come on, loosen up, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Take care. Have a good weekend.
This is 89.1 FM, The Lakeshore, listener-supported public radio in Northwest Indiana. WLPR FM, Lowell.